Good morning.
Good morning.
It's one of those Sundays where I couldn't decide which instrument to play, my air drums or my air guitar. Thanks, worship team. It's great to see everybody here this morning. I want to welcome everybody to our service. It's great to be worshiping together. Let's go to God in prayer real quick. God, we thank you for this day just to worship and to focus on who you are in our lives. And we just thank you that we have the freedoms to come here and to celebrate that together as we look into Scripture this morning. God, I pray you just open our hearts and our minds to the things that you want us to know, but more importantly, to the things that you want us to do with what we know. And so open our hearts. And God, we thank you for this past week. We thank you for our students and their experience at camp and that they're back safely. And we just thank you for what you did in their lives, but also through their lives as they not only worshiped and learned and studied Scripture together, but they also served together. So we thank you for that. Thank you for the leaders who went and made it possible and invested in them this week. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So our students are back. If you follow us on Facebook, if you don't, you should, or Instagram or Twitter, any number of those social media accounts that we have up and running. But our students are back. We posted lots of pictures from their trip this past week at MFuse. They were up serving in the Philadelphia area, and so we are thankful that they are back safe and sound, and thankful to our adults who led them. Some of the students are here, and they have blue t-shirts on, their Fuge t-shirts, along with their adults. So when you see them, ask them about their week. I'm sure they're just waiting to talk about it with you. I'm kidding. And then just to let you know where we're going kind of over the next few weeks, because we got several things as typical in the summer, lots of different things coming and going. And so I'll be here next week. We'll be continuing this series. And then on the 29th, I'll be traveling out of town for vacation. Gideon will be here teaching that Sunday, so you don't want to miss that. It'll be a great, great time. And then on August 5th, we're going to wrap up this series that we're in. And also something really, really great is happening on August 5th. Joseph and Jennifer, who founded the Tanya Center, you've heard us talk about the Tanya Center, the school that we partner with financially in outside of Nairobi, Kenya. Joseph and Jennifer are going to be in town. We're going to be hosting them while they're in town. They've been up in Canada for the past several weeks for a convention and a conference and connecting with some of the folks that they know there. While they were this close, we said, we will make sure you get to D.C. So that you can meet our church and see us. Joseph's been here once before. Some of you were here a few years ago when he was here. So they will be here. They'll be arriving the afternoon of the 5th, but they will be here Sunday the 12th. And so you don't want to miss hearing some of their stories and what's going on with the Tanya Center. We're getting ready to partner with the Tanya Center. We'll be talking to you about that in the next few weeks on a new project. So we'll be talking a little bit about that on the 12th as well. But they will be here from August 5th through the 16th. If you would like to help us host them in any way, we would love to talk to you. Elise is coordinating that, our children and missions pastor. She's coordinating all that. You can see me, you can see her, you can email us. We're looking for people who would want to host them for a dinner or take them out to dinner or show them around or help get them to and from the airport, that sort of thing. So if you're interested in finding out more about that, talk to us about it. We'd like to talk to you about it. So that's kind of where we're headed over the next few weeks. But today, grab your notes because we're in a series that we're just calling Wise, Unwise. And in the series, we're focusing on one question, and the question is this. We talk about it every week. In light of my past experience, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? And my prayer as we go through this series is that this will be more than just another sermon series. And my prayer and my hope is that this question might become the filter through which we kind of walk through life, that we ask this question as we walk through life, that at every opportunity we have, every invitation we have, every decision that we have, that we would pause and we would ask, what's the wise thing for me to do? So it's been a couple of weeks since I've been here, so let me kind of recap real quickly. If you missed the first two parts of the series, it's online. I highly recommend you catching up. If you're traveling, going on vacation, just pull it up on your phone, plug it in your car. Your kids will love it. Just tell them Pastor David said so. And in about 10 minutes, everybody in the car will be asleep, and so it'll be nice and quiet, and you will enjoy your ride to wherever you're going. But last week, we looked at three types of people that King Solomon was David's son. He wrote several books in the Old Testament. Solomon gave us these three types of people in the book of Proverbs. And what we said was if we're going to opt out of wisdom, in other words, if we're not going to ask this question and we're not going to answer it, and we're not going to go with what the wise thing is to do, if we opt out of wisdom, we're automatically opting for something else, most of the time without even realizing it. And Solomon says that if we back away from wisdom, that we're backing into one of these other categories of people. And first we looked at the simple person. And we said the simple person, they're just young. They're inexperienced. It's not that they don't want wisdom. It's not that they're against the wise thing or anything like that. They just haven't lived long enough to know what the wise thing is. And if this is you, if you're the simple person, if you're in your 20s or younger, you have an incredible, incredible opportunity. We talked about last week at this stage of your life, because you can actually have it both ways. You can have both your youth and all of the great things that go with that, and you can have wisdom, but you're going to have to ask for wisdom because it will not come naturally to you. And then the second person that Solomon talks about is the fool. And the fool is the person who knows what the wise thing is to do, but they just don't care. They just don't do it. They're not worried about the consequences. They're not worried about the fallout or anything like that. And then the third person was the mocker. And the mocker is similar to the fool. They know what the right thing is to do, and they don't care. But the mocker, they take it a step further. The mocker is the person that is critical of the people who decide to go after wisdom in their life. They're just difficult, difficult people. This is a person that you do not want to work for, okay? This is the person that if you're dating them right now, you should think seriously about dating someone else. This is a person that you don't want to end up married to one day. The mocker is just incredibly, incredibly difficult. And like we said last week, when we don't choose wisdom, we end up choosing one of these things anyway. And the risk is, and this is why it's so important that we get this, the risk is that if we stay in one of these three areas for too long, then eventually wisdom's not even going to be available to us. That if we stay in any of these areas too long, that we can actually do permanent damage to our lives and to our relationships. So today, we're going to switch gears a little bit, and I want to talk about time and how to use our time wisely. And I know we talked about this a few weeks ago, but this is so important. I just wanted to kind of circle back around to it this week. And there's something that Job said in the Old Testament. He said this: a person's days are determined. And you have, talking about God, you have decreed the number of his months and have set limits that he cannot exceed. So Job actually believed, like most of the people in Old Testament times, Job actually believed that God kind of set limits, a time limit on everybody's life. Now, you may or may not believe that, but here's what we know for sure. Your time is running out, right? Aren't you glad you came this morning? Our time is running out. We have a limited amount of time, which means we can overeat, and we can overspend, and we can overwork, and we can overachieve, but we can't overlive, can we? At some point, your time will run out. And your time is the most important asset that you have. It's the most valuable thing you have, because you're not going to be able to get any more of it. You can make more friends. You can make more money. You can't make more time. So if there's ever an area where we need to ask the question, what's the wise thing to do, it has to do with our time, because it's the most valuable thing that you have, and it's limited. Now, to kind of get us all on the same page today, what I want to do is I want to give you four observations about time, kind of four key truths about time. And these aren't new. We've all heard these in one way or another. But these four observations about time, I think they underscore the importance of asking this question that we're looking at as it relates to how we use our time. And here's the deal. Regardless of why you're here, everything we're about to say is so, so applicable to all of us. And you don't have to be a follower of Christ to apply this to your life. But if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, then I think this is kind of mandatory for us. Because here's what we believe as followers of Christ. We believe that everything we have comes from God. And that everything we have is to be stewarded. That God has given everything we have, and it's to be managed. And one of the things that you and I have been given is our time, and we are to manage that and to manage that well. So here are four observations about time. The first one is this: investing small amounts of time over time is cumulative. Investing small amounts of time over time is cumulative. Let me give you an example. say if you exercise 30 minutes a day, 3 to 4 days a week, week after week, year after year, it's cumulative, right? It adds up to something. If you have a family and you have kids and you eat together at home with your kids around the table 3 or 4 nights a week, week after week, month after month, year after year, it builds up. It adds up to something. If you eat right, if you eat clean, if you eat healthy week after week, year after year, it's cumulative. If you establish a habit of praying on a regular basis every day or multiple times during the week and reading scripture, it's cumulative. If you're in small group and you're in a habit just on a weekly basis where you're connecting with other people in community and you're opening up your life to other people and growing with them, over time, it's cumulative. 1 week in small group generally isn't going to be life-changing, right? Attending one worship service generally isn't going to be life-changing. It's cumulative. Over time, things build up. They add up to something. But there's no benefit, and this is where we kind of get into trouble, I think. There's no benefit to one installment, and generally there's no consequence in missing one. Let me say that again. There's no benefit in just one installment, and generally there's no consequence to missing one. That's why it's so easy to talk yourself out of exercising, right? I mean, you're getting ready to go to the gym or exercise or do whatever you're doing, and somebody calls and they want you to come over and do something with them. And you say to yourself, well, missing one workout's not going to hurt anything, is it? I mean, missing one won't change anything. And you're right. Missing one installment doesn't hurt anything, and making one installment really doesn't help anything. If you haven't exercised in a really long time and you decide to go and work out, after one workout, nobody's going to walk up to you and say, man, you're really getting cut, right? Nobody's gonna do that. That's not going to happen because one installment of exercise really doesn't make the difference. It's constant deposits of time over time. And in the key areas of life, and it is these single constant deposits that make all of the difference in the world. So they're cumulative. Number two, the second observation about time is this, is neglect is cumulative as well. Neglect is cumulative as well. If you choose not to exercise, if your goal in life is to not exercise 30 minutes a day, 3 to 4 days a week, week after week, year after year, that's cumulative too. If your goal is to not eat healthy, you know, 7 days a week, 4 weeks a month, you know, 365 days of the year, that's cumulative. If you neglect your relationships, if you neglect your kids, if you neglect your spiritual life, all of that is cumulative as well. Neglect is cumulative. And the problem is, and we all know this, the problem is neglect is easy, isn't it? I mean, we can do it with no effort, but neglect is also costly because it's small deposits over time in key areas of our lives that make all of the difference. And when we choose to neglect what is important, it's easy, but it's costly. And here's why I say that. If you think that investing in your health is too difficult and too time-consuming, just wait until you get to a point where something happens where you lose that health and all of the time and all of the money and all the resources that you're going to have to begin putting into that to try to get some of that back. And at the same time, if you neglect your spiritual health or you neglect your spiritual life, you get too busy for God, too busy for church, too busy for small group, all of those things, and then a crisis comes. And all of a sudden, you wish you could go back because all of a sudden, God seems really, really far from you. And neglect is easy. It's always easier to neglect, but it's also costly when it comes to the most important areas, the key areas of our lives. And number three is this. Random has no cumulative value. Random has no cumulative value. And this is something that we don't think about, but I think it's important when we think about the best use of our time. Random has no cumulative value. There's no cumulative value in the random things we opt for over the most important things. And let me give you an example. If in this hand you put 30 minutes a day, week after week, day after day, year after year of exercise, and you put all of that in your hand, and then you were to take this hand and you would put all of the things that you opted for instead of exercising. At the end of the day, this has no value. There's nothing there. In fact, what did you even do for an entire year instead of exercising? You can't remember, can you? because it has no value. It doesn't add up to anything. There's no cumulative value to the random things we spend time on instead of the important things. If you're married with kids and you've got all of these things that you did instead of having dinner with your family on a consistent basis, like, you know, I worked a little extra, or I hung out with friends after work, or I did this hobby a little bit more than maybe I should have. Let's put all that in a big pile and see what it adds up to. Do you know what it adds up to? Nothing. Because you neglected the important things for a bunch of random things, and when you add up random, do you know what you get? You get random. Okay? So again, when it comes to using our time wisely, this is so important, because it's small deposits over time of the important things in life. They're cumulative. They add up to something. And then here's the fourth observation. In the areas that matter most, you can't make up for misspent time. In the areas that matter most, you can't make up for misspent time. Now, this is really, really important. And I'll say it kind of another way. In the areas that matter most, you can't pull an all-nighter, okay? And we all know what an all-nighter is, right? Remember in school, or maybe you're still in school, but remember in school, and there were lots of things that if we were behind on or we need to catch up on, you know, we could just pull an all-nighter and catch up, right? Remember that class you took that you didn't actually go to? And then you got past the point where you could drop the class and still get your money back. And so you called your parents and they said, well, we're not paying for it. You're paying for it. And you said, well, I can't pay for it. So what did you do? You stayed in that class, didn't you? You missed a lot of classes. You missed all the notes, and exam time rolls around. And so what did you do? You did what we all did. You stayed up all night. You begged, borrowed, and you stole, right? You tried to find old copies of old exams, and you borrowed people's notes, and you did your best, and you made a C, because C's get degrees, right? I mean, that's what you told yourself. C's get degrees. I mean, I'm a testament to that. But the problem is, there are areas in life where that works. You know, you've got a presentation that you forgot about, or you've got a meeting that you didn't realize you were running that day and you weren't prepared for it. So what do? You show up a little bit early and you crammed for it and you do a pretty good job. And then people come up to you afterwards and say, that was really great. So you start thinking, well, I'm just going to procrastinate on everything I do from now on out, right? Here's what you need to understand, that the way God made the world to work, you cannot cram. You cannot pull an all-nighter to make up for the things that matter most in life. For example, if you have a family and you've not been having dinner with your family on a consistent basis, and by the way, Marcia and I will tell you that is the one thing, it maybe is the thing, that I think has contributed most to the health of our family, and even to the spiritual growth of our kids, and the open communication and the conversation that we have with them. Now, you might say, well, but you're the pastor, you know, I thought it would have been a prayer, praying together, something like that. No, not really. I mean, we prayed with our kids. We taught them how to do that when they were little. Or you might say, well, you know, you're the pastor. Didn't you have family devotions? We never really had family devotions in our family when our kids were growing up. The closest thing we had to family devotions is every now and then I would bring home some of you all's emails of the problems you were having. And I would just read them around the dinner table. You know, I would say, hey, kids, listen to this one. You're going to love this one, you know, just trying to scare the sin out of them and stuff like that. Sometimes I would change the names. Sometimes I didn't. That was just kind of my family devotion. You thought I didn't read your email. Of course I read your email. That's how I raised my kids, right? Off of your problems. But I'm kidding. I didn't really do that. Don't worry. Keep sending me your emails. I want to help. But the point is this. The point is, if you're one of those families where you work hard and you're really busy, and you know we don't really have time to do the family dinner thing, and then you think, and you get to a point and you go, oh my gosh, my kids, they're getting older, and now they're starting to do their own thing. They're in high school, or they're getting ready to go to college, and we just don't have the conversation that I wish we'd had. You can't cram for that. You can't pull your family together and say, okay, kids, tomorrow morning on Saturday, we're going to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, we're going to have breakfast, and we're going to sit around the table for the next 10 hours because we're going to make up for all of those meals that we missed. That won't work. You can't do it. And this is so important for us to understand that in the areas that matter most in life, when it comes to your time, you cannot cram. You cannot cram for your health. You cannot cram in a relationship. You cannot cram in your marriage. You cannot cram in your relationship with your kids. You can't make up for lost time in the areas that matter most. And this is true in your faith. This is true in your relationships with God. It's true in every important area of life. In the areas that matter most, you cannot make up for misspent time. You cannot make up for lost time. It worked in school. It works at work sometimes with presentations. It does not work with relationships. It generally doesn't work in your finances, and it does not work in spiritual growth. It takes constant deposits of time over time. That's just the way the world works when it comes to the things that matter most. Now, if that's the case, if that really is the way that the world works, if that's the way that God set it up, what would you expect God to say on this topic? Well, here's what the Apostle Paul tells us that God says as it relates to our time. And this is the passage that we looked at a few weeks ago, but I just wanted to come back to it because I really believe it gets the essence of this principle of what we're talking about. But here's what Paul says. He says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise." And then look at this phrase, "making the most of your time." Making the most of your time. Paul says, if you're going to walk wisely, and if you're going to be careful with how you live your life, then you've got to specifically be careful about how you spend your time. And this phrase, making the most of your time, it literally means redeem the value, redeem the time, or to say it a different way, get the full value out. In other words, Paul's saying, as you consider how much time you have, and as you consider how you're going to spend that time, he says, what you need to do is you need to make sure you're getting the full value of that time. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. And then do you remember what Paul said the motivation for his writing this was? We looked at it the first week. Here's what he said, because the days are evil. Now, in this particular context, Paul was probably referring to something very specific to the people he was writing to, but this applies to all of us, because when he says the days are evil, he's talking about the culture in which they lived in. And here's what you know, and here's what I know, that if I simply spend my time the way culture would have me spend my time, and if I simply spend my time the way my appetites would have me spend my time, if I simply pick up my feet and just allow myself to drift or to move with the current of culture and what's happening all around me, not only will I not redeem my time, but I will waste most of it. Because your appetites, they're not going to help you. And for the most part, culture is not going to help you, because culture is going to focus you and me on now, 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 not later, and not the past. Culture is not going to want us to consider what's happened in the past. And culture is not going to want us to look ahead at what might happen in the future. It's all about now. So here's the question. Where do you need to begin making consistent deposits of time? In your life, in the areas that matter most, where do you need to begin making consistent deposits of time? What areas of your life, where do you need to begin making consistent deposits of time? Or thinking about it this way and looking at the question we've been looking at, In light of your past experience, where do you need to begin making consistent deposits of time? I mean, the truth is, some of us have some bad habits, right? And the reality is, some of us in our past, we've racked up some debt. And some of us, if we're honest, we've got some damaged relationships. And some of us, we're just flat out of shape, aren't we? And for some of us, it's been a really, really long time since we've engaged in any real meaningful spiritual disciplines, hasn't it? Where do you need to begin spending some time? Not big blocks of time, but small, consistent deposits of time. And then the next one, in light of your current circumstances, in light of this current stage in life, What is the wise thing for you to do with your time? Where do you need to begin making some deposits of time? I mean, maybe you're in school, or maybe you just got married, or maybe you're about to get married, or maybe you've got kids, or maybe you're close to retirement. In light of what's going on with you right now, where do you need to begin making some consistent deposits of time in the areas that matter most? And then the third aspect of the question, in light of your future hopes and dreams, where do you need to begin making consistent deposits of time? In light of where you want to be someday, where do you need to be spending your time? Because here's the deal, most of us, even if we don't have goals written down, most of us have a picture of where we want to be one day relationally, don't we? And most of us have a picture of where we want to be one day professionally. Most of us have an idea. Most of us have a picture of and know where we want to be spiritually or financially or in terms of our health. So in light of those things, where do you need to begin making small deposits of time over time? So when you put it all together, the question is this: in light of your past experience, your current circumstances, your future hopes and dreams, where do you need to begin making some consistent deposits of time? Now, let me give you the action item for this week, and then we'll be done. For the past few weeks, the action item has simply been just ask the question, right? What is the wise thing for me to do? You didn't have to do anything to do it. You didn't have to even do the wise thing, but you should have, you know, I said you should at least know what the wise thing is if you decide to opt for wisdom. The action item this week is very simply act on it. You got to act on it. Ask the question at every opportunity, at every invitation, at every decision. What is the wise thing for me to do? And then act on what you know is the wise thing to do. Because like Paul said, therefore, be careful how you live. Not as unwise, because unwise takes no effort, but there's a high consequence. Unwise takes no intentionality, but there's a price to pay. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time. And if you do that, if you ask the question, and if you answer the question, if you act on it, you will get to the next season of your life, and you will look back on this season of your life, and you will be so glad you did. In light of my past experience, in light of my current circumstances, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? Let me pray for you. God, we thank you for the time that you've given to us. But God, our time really is our most valuable asset. It's not something that we can get any more of. It's not something we can go back and get do-overs on. So God, help us to take what Paul says, help us to take what Job says very seriously as we think about our time. As we think about our time, as we move into the future, as we walk through life, help us to use it wisely. Help us to redeem the time. Help us to get the full value of it. And God, some of us, as we're sitting here and we're thinking about, we're not thinking about our current circumstances or our future. We're thinking about our past and how we wasted a lot of our time. So help us to remember that we live by your grace. And help us to forgive ourselves as you forgive us and move on and to do better. But God, I pray that all of us would begin to grab hold of this question that you've given to us, and that we would begin to allow it to be the filter for our lives, that it would be the filter for our parenting, that it would be the filter for our marriages and for our families, that we would stop at every opportunity, at every invitation, at every decision, and we would ask what's the wise thing for us to do, and then help us to act on it, no matter how difficult it may seem at the time, so that we can look back in the future and be thankful that we did. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.